across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from Milwaukee, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
He's not kidding. Don Ruth, thank you very much. Hey, good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning from Milwaukee, where it is 6:06 on Monday morning, August 19th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app on social media or through podcast. Even if you're listening up north, where I'm not this time around, because we're getting set to make our way to Chicago for the Democratic National Convention. And so in honor of doing the show from a hotel room downtown while Greg Bach is just up the road in downtown Waukesha, here's my question of the morning. Is anybody else having for breakfast a cold slice of spicy pepperoni pizza and some hotel lobby coffee? Or is that just me? I'm going to say it's just me.
Oh, that sounds good morning, amazing. Good morning, sir. Good morning, Pat. How are you today?
I'm good for the first couple of days. You know, Sherry was here. We were having this lovely little weekend getaway in Milwaukee that we're going to talk about in a bit. And then, of course, she left to head back up north to work and everything. I get set to hit Chicago. How quickly this place became a bachelor pad. You know, we were going to some nice meals. Now I've got my stuff is laying all over, getting set to make the final packing. I found a sports bar, you know, with a really spicy pepperoni pizza that I wouldn't dare have otherwise if I was with my beloved.
What sports bar did you go to?
What's it called? District 4, as in F-O-R-E, like golf,
yeah.
Sports bar.
Yeah.
See, got it. Really good pizza. Although I will say the pizza where we stayed in the historic Third Ward, a place at the Journeyman here is, oh God, I mean, wood fired pizza.
Oh, you love this place so much.
I am loving the Third Ward, and I am loving just the rebuild here. Again, when I lived in Milwaukee, it was 30 years ago, and 35 now, when Sherry was going to the Medical College of Wisconsin. And so we lived in West Allis. She went to school in Wauwatosa. I worked in West Bend. And this particular neighborhood just south of downtown Milwaukee was nothing like what it is today. What it is. And obviously, this is not the only city that has had this, you know, rejuvenation. Think of the Warehouse District in downtown Minneapolis, for example, where, again, you know, it was post-industrial America back there in the 70s, 80s, early 90s. And, you know, once everything sadly had either the jobs had moved overseas or things had closed up or whatever, you know, then the opportunity came to fill it back in. And this area has filled in beautifully. So many places with outdoor dining or rooftop dining and drinking. It's right near the Milwaukee Public Market, which of course has been a big success. Just enjoyed it so much. But the highlight had to be going down to Fifth and National, where we found the Laughing Tap and found one Greg Bach, who could not have been a more genial host.
Oh, thank you
again for hosting us. That was wonderful.
Oh, well, no, it's my pleasure to have both of you. It was wonderful to meet Dr. Kreitlow, and I'm glad you had a good time.
A really good time. What point? There were good seats, definitely, yeah. Like you said, best seats in the house, best sight lines right near the bar. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I'm like, it's taking her a while to order a drink or whatever. I turn around and, oh no, she's hanging out with you, just finally getting to meet one another, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah. Dr. Kreitlow is absolutely lovely. She's wonderful. She's every time I heard her say, hi, Greg, I'm like, she sounds great. And she was great. And I'm glad you had a good time. And honestly, it's funny because it's a small backstory for the listeners. We had a show on Saturday night, 7:30 show with Brad. His name is Brad Wenzel, was the headliner. Wonderful lineup as well. But we had a gaggle of men folk there who just were not
decided to be difficult.
Decided to be difficult, to make it about themselves, to be all high five, I work in finance, bro-y about things. And
very much so, yeah.
They showed up late and they were not, you know, so as soon as that happens, I get overtaken with anxiety. I'm like, oh God. But then you add in the fact that I have guests there, you and Dr. Kreitlow. You have come, I've, You know, I want to provide a great experience. So in my head the whole time going, I'm like so Midwest saying, you better knock it off. We have company here tonight. All right. There's company here.
I'm company.
You better.
Don't you know who I am?
Company is here. All right. So
you did. I did. I didn't hear it, of course, but I saw it because it was in the opposite corner from where we were. But you gave them a stern look.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that look pretty much said it all. You know, it's that same look why Maybelle is such a good puppy. You just give that look like no, no, no. And Sherry leans in and she's like, you know, the as I recall, it's $25 for a ticket, no drink minimum.
Yeah.
Come and have fun. And she's like, if you're paying 25, whatever it is, you're paying 25 bucks to get there. Why would you then decide to be a jerk and risk getting, you know, asked to leave? It just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, Pat, if you want a little bit of like a little more tea on the information, they walked in the door, they paid for their tickets. So and there was 10 of them. So that's right there. Okay. Do that math. Yeah. Then they walked right up to the bar and bought 10 shots. So that's and then they bought 10 drinks. Mm-hmm. So they were heavily invested into the night. So for us to have to, I don't want to tell anyone they have to leave, but at one point the comics' comfort and security is my biggest concern, as well as the audiences. And no one came to listen to these dudes talk. No one paid to listen to these brohams try to wax philosophical with Brad, who, by the way, Brad was amazing, because a lot of comics were like, oh, blah. He's like, I don't like you.
I'm like, he just said it right there from the stage, because they were being rude. They were doing that thing where it's like, well, if I paid this much money, I'm entitled, you know, to say things and do things, when it's really the other way around. But those dudes notwithstanding, it was a great time. We really appreciated it. Can't wait to do it again. And to again, before we got into this, I was kind of, you know, waxing nostalgic about Milwaukee. And now this particular neighborhood, Fifth and National, Walker's Point, it's right near the Allen Bradley, you know, clock tower, the old Allen Bradley factory. And for folks who hadn't heard the story, 35 years ago, I worked as the traffic director of a billboard company in Milwaukee. Well, Sherry, that helped get Sherry through med school. And so I know I knew every street in Milwaukee. I knew it like a cab driver. It could get you anywhere, because I knew where every billboard was. I had to pick out those boards. So I was very familiar, you know, with these neighborhoods, and to see the changes and the growth, it just did my heart a lot of good, because we spend so much time having to listen to people trash talk cities and go, oh, this big city, oh, I would never go there. Well, then you missed out, because so many people were having a great time walking up and down the streets, shopping, dining. You know, the new Ben and Jerry's ice cream place opened up across the street. I might have stopped there for a bit. You guys are missing out. And so it was good to see all of that. And it was also good to see all the folks who were putting up posts en route to Chicago and are there already, because it's going to be a big, fun convention week, you know, that we're looking forward to. Hopefully, you know, technically it'll all go all right. I know you and Jane for Matt and Aaron Air, you'll have guests all throughout the week from the convention and, you know, a lot of good people and good times to talk about, hopefully.
Absolutely. And you know, that's the thing about Milwaukee that's great, is that it is having a revitalization. It's got great leadership there with the county executive and the mayor. I don't mean to throw water onto a burning fire here, but really weird. That was a very weird term I just used. You want to throw water on fire. But I just don't, you know, the thing is, I don't want Milwaukee to lose its flavor. I also don't want it to become a place where people who want to visit or want to live there can't, because, you know, you see these cities nowadays and you're like, oh, it's a very livable city. And within 3 years, you're like, oh, I can't even afford to, like, you know, hang out here because it's so expensive. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword, but I'm loving the not only the energy, but the pride people have of living in Milwaukee. It's a beautiful city, and we love being a part of it with the Tap.
Yeah, there's definitely a sweet spot that you're looking for there. I saw some numbers over the weekend about growth across Wisconsin, population shifts, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but here's the takeaway. Of the top 10 communities that have gained in population since the 2020 census, the big bad city of Madison and the rest of Dane County grew more than the rest of the list combined. And so not only is that people voting with their feet, but going where the economy is, but it's also a cautionary tale to those who would continue to, I say, falsely exacerbate the rural-urban divide. You know, the divide between Wisconsinites isn't nearly what some people make it out to be, but obviously people with a political stake will try to make things worse and say, oh, those big, bad, horrible cities. First off, you're wrong. But second, from a political strategy, I wouldn't really go with that. You know, the way that communities like Madison and others are growing, maybe find some ways to work together. And we're going to talk about some of the issues important to that coming up with our guest in our second hour, State Senate Minority Leader, Democratic Leader Diane Hesselbein of Middleton. She is also heading to Chicago for the Democratic National Convention, and we will be talking about the issues that, you know, she's been hearing from voters as she knocks on doors for others. It's, you know, one of those things where half the Senate is up, you know, because it's a four-year term. And so if you're not up this year, well, instead of sitting at home on your duff, you get out there and you knock on doors for other people, like in assembly districts and things. And that's what she's been doing. We actually caught up with her in the Fox Valley, and she talks about knocking on doors there and the things that she's hearing. So that's coming up. Selena Heller will be along. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here. We should be hearing from Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, about convention coverage for this week. But I would be remiss not to take our usual sports slot here at 6:17 and mention being at American Family Field yesterday to watch Colin Ray take a no-hitter into the sixth inning, which for Sherry and for me, you know, sitting in the stands, that just wasn't on my radar. I'm like, God, he's having a really good game here. He's having a good game. But I would have to be later in the game before I look at the hits, you know, column and go, hey, they haven't. So when there was this big round of applause when one of the Cleveland Guardians got a hit, I was just like, that seems, I know there's some Cleveland fans out there. And then I look at the scoreboard, I'm like, oh yeah, that was the first hit. way to pay attention. I'm trying so hard to be a good host for Sherry here, and we're talking about the game and the stadium and everything else, and I'm like, oh yeah, he was pitching 5 2/3 of no hit ball or something like that. So that was a really good game. The Brewers sweeping the Cleveland Guardians. So I mean, come on. You split a series with the first place Dodgers. You sweep a series from the first place Guardians. And I believe the Brewers are something like 11 or 11 and a half games.
11. They're 11.
11 game lead. Go Brewers.
Go,
we'll
Brewers.
Talk more about that and more on the rest of during the rest of this beautiful day here on Up North News Radio, live from Milwaukee. Back in a bit. All right, we'll tell you what Simpson's doing in today's recycling coming up when we air that little puppy, coming in about 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. So yeah, we were just chatting about the Brewers and being a little nervous coming into that series with the Dodgers and losing the first two games and thinking, oh gosh, this could be, you know, it could be Sinatra going in now, the end is near. No, it wasn't. The Brewers won the next two games, swept Cleveland, have that big 11-game lead over the Cardinals and the Cubs and the Reds, who were all losing yesterday, with 6 weeks left in the regular season now. So what a deal to go 5-2 on the week there against nothing but first-place teams. Now, before the game, Robin Yount was honored for the 50th anniversary of his rookie season. And in the coverage of it, and by the way, I'm going to add parenthetically, and I don't know, maybe Greg knows the answer to this, but they've been talking about the Robin Yount 50th anniversary thing, anniversary of his rookie season all season. And he was like there at spring training. So I wasn't sure of the significance of doing something in mid August, but they did. And it was a reason to run more video tributes. And he was there throwing out the first pitch and waving and everything, but I wasn't aware of any calendar hooked to the date necessarily.
Yeah.
I was like, bring Robin Yount out. And look, the guy is still so beloved in this community.
Yeah.
In the coverage of it, there was a Journal Sentinel story about how he almost left in 1989. You know, the Brewers had been in the World Series 7 years earlier. He didn't think the team was trying hard enough to get back to the World Series. And he talked about all the school teachers who sent in letters from their students, who wrote letters asking Robin Yount not to leave. And he said it just about made him cry, and it played a role in his decision to stay for the rest of his career.
That man is amazing. And I didn't really know anything about him until I went to a ball game like years ago, and they were giving away a Robin Yount jersey as a giveaway. And I remember looking at the scoreboard going, who's that hobo wearing a Robin Yount jersey? And apparently now he's just like, he used to be like this super intense guy. And now he's just like, he's like, what's up, man?
I make
lemonade. I grew my hair out. Let's just do this, man. Let's just rock and roll. Like, he's just such a, I mean, I love seeing him because he's living his greatest life.
He really is. And God bless him for it. And he's earned it for as hard as he had to, as hard as he had to work.
Yeah.
So the Brewers, now they're off today. They are traveling to St. Louis for three games starting tomorrow evening. There will be games Tuesday and Wednesday evening, then Thursday afternoon. Then for the weekend, three games out in Oakland. Their next homestand is a short one. It's next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday against the San Francisco Giants, and then they take off right away afterwards for another road trip. A couple more quick sports notes. I see the as I was sitting in this sports bar having my spicy pepperoni pizza, out of the corner of my eye, I saw NBA TV having some kind of a special rollout for the schedule. The schedule's out now for the next NBA season. I don't have much of any headlines on there. I see they're again having their little NBA Cup, or I think it's the Emirates Cup now, you know, the in-season playoff tournament is going to be a thing again. But the main screens were on the Packers preseason game, which was last night in Denver. I believe the final was 27-7, something like that. Again, it's preseason. I shouldn't care. I'm only mentioning this because I was sitting and watching it. They got some work to do, but that's what preseason is.
Yeah.
You know,
that
really is my intense sports analysis of the Packers today. Is it's preseason. They got work to do.
Yeah. It's like, all right, good job, guys. I'm going to not be here anymore. All right.
Yeah. I'll see you in September when it counts. Yes. So politically, we'll talk all about the Democratic convention here in a bit, but I did want to spend just a moment or two talking about the tack that the Republican ticket is taking, especially this week, because this week, J.D. Vance is coming back to Wisconsin, and he's coming to Kenosha, and he's going to give a speech about, you know, law and order and safety. And Donald Trump, on that same day, Tuesday, is going to be in a city called Howell, Michigan, and he's going to be talking about law and order and security and safety. These were not picked by accident. Folks are very familiar with the tragic occurrences, you know, in Kenosha, and the police shootings in the Racine, Kenosha area. And Howell, Michigan is an area where just a month ago, a group of Nazis, white supremacists, marched and rallied. And it's a city that has had ties to the KKK for some time now. I'm not seeing anybody in traditional media actually using the term race baiting at this point, but I'm going to be paying close attention to the language. You know, you hear all the coded phrases, law and order and safety and security and all of that, without any discussion whatsoever of some of the causes of unrest in some of our communities, whether it's economic reasons or the spate of police violence, especially against unarmed black men. We have played comments recently from Eric Hovde, who was trying to denigrate some of the black men who have been shot and killed by police, sometimes in unprovoked instances. And guys, again, I know you're not paying me to be a Republican political consultant, but yeah, it gets you some votes. It riles up your base. But again, we just talked about the changing demographics of this country. And a party that has to engage in its communications this way is not one that's looking toward the future. You look at the Republicans continuing to make attacks on Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, running mate to Vice President Kamala Harris. about the way things were handled in Minneapolis in the wake of the police murder of George Floyd. And they're continuing to try to make that stick, even though there is ample record that Donald Trump publicly thanked Governor Tim Walz for the way that he handled things with the National Guard. Much like you see, again, the continued effort to try to spread misinformation about how Governor Tony Evers handled dispatching the National Guard when things were not going well in Southeast Wisconsin. But again, a look at the record shows how he did things and did things in a timely manner. So maybe this is a one-off this week for these visits to Kenosha and to Howell, Michigan. Maybe more will be said from an economic standpoint, but I doubt it. I mean, over the weekend, Donald Trump, again, despite all of the pleas by Republicans to get back on an economic message, Trump used the phrase, used the word entitled. He said he's entitled to make personal attacks on Kamala Harris. And not just attacks on her, but said attacks on her looks and said that he's better looking than Kamala Harris. Now, again, in any normal campaign, Greg, when one candidate would denigrate the woman running on the other ticket and say, I'm better looking, you would immediately be written off as a clown. And yet, despite that and all of the other rambling that he did at that news conference last week, it's Kamala Harris who's getting grief for not having enough detail in her economic plan that she talked about on Friday. The free pass is it's mind-blowing at times. But this is what we've come to and why we just want to remind people, take a look at the whole big picture.
Yes, please, please, please.
We'll talk more with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, later with Selena Heller, and much more throughout the course of the morning. This is Up North News Radio, live from Milwaukee, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You used to call me on my.
You used to. It's a cell phone. Say the words. Cell phone.
Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone.
There we go. We'll tell you why Drake is in today's history lesson in just a little bit as well. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. Obstetrician, gynecologist, candidate for Congress, mother of four boys. And fighting a cold, Dr. Lyerly, good morning.
You used to call me on my cell phone. Not so good.
When you have a cold, you can sing like different people than you normally would. When I get a cold, which I don't have right now, but we do Lou Rawls. We get, you know, way down there. My lady love. Clearly is not working when I'm healthy.
Who's the Barry White? Go a little Barry White.
Oh, yes, I do a little Barry White, too. Yep. I heard people say that too much of anything is too good for something like that. No. Now I know I have to cue this up at some point next time I'm sick. We're going to have fun with that. How was your weekend otherwise?
It was so good. We did the Fat Tire bike ride in Green Bay, hung out with some friends in Kakana. That was a blast at the Vaudette and Tech Brewing. And then yesterday, this might be why I'm sick because I spent so much time talking. I ran down to Chicago and talked with a group of folks. And then went to Tammy Baldwin's barbecue.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
You have been a political beast. So you've made one trip to Chicago, and you're not like down there for the convention, obviously, but you're making a couple of runs down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going back on Wednesday through Friday morning. But I got kids, and it's back to school time, Pat. So we've got back to school day today, and then I've got another one who's going to Stevens Point this afternoon for his back to school visit. We're busy.
I was under the impression these boys were feral and were able to do whatever they need to do whenever they need to do it. But they still need their mom.
They do. And it's fun because they're old now. So they're just like, they're fun to be with.
They're old.
Well, they were fun when they were little too, but that, you know, it required that much more actual parenting. Yeah. Now it's more like...
You're giving them guidance instead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's more like talking with parents while they do their thing.
That works out really well. Hey, while I'm down here in Milwaukee, and I'm just a couple of blocks away from the Summerfest grounds. Have you been to Summerfest a lot over the years?
Yeah.
Okay. I laugh because there's here in this particular hotel, there's posters, of course, you know, hanging around, pictures of Milwaukee and all kinds of things. And one of the posters that's hanging in our room is for Summerfest 76. So the 1976 edition of Summerfest advertised as a bargain for $2.50.
Oh my gosh.
All of the entertainment that you would get. Here, I should have made this into a game and say which one of these did not play at Summerfest, but I'm just going to go ahead and read the lineup. Summerfest 76 introduces its lineup of top name names in person under the canopy of the stars. This year, you'll see and hear talent like Tony Bennett.
Oh, yeah.
The Ohio Players. Love Roller Coaster. Mm-hmm. Judy Collins.
Wow.
At Helen Summerfest. Reddy. The Spinners. Chris Christopherson and Rita Coolidge and Bobby Vinton.
I love Bobby Vinton. Bobby Summerfest Vinton
76.
That is amazing. That's an incredible lineup.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't think of a more quintessential mid-70s lineup. All it was missing was, because they were the hot new group that year, would have been the Starland Vocal Band giving us afternoon delight.
Yes.
I was gonna say Cool in the Gang.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah. Yep.
That was a little, yeah.
That was, well, they really broke out it in 1979 with Celebration. The Commodores, that would have been the ones to have.
I love how he just pulled that right out of his brain, like in 1979, like a case.
Actually,
like
Greg, you know, if
nerd. All right. So I was too busy not being born at that point. So
there it is again. So I have been raving in the first half hour about these parts of Milwaukee that we've been staying in. And it included an intentional ride on the Hop, which is the downtown kind of trolley that they have set up here. And which Republicans have been, you know, again, promising to defund and tear down, and they've been mocking it. And meanwhile, ridership has been, you know, has been going through the roof as people take it. And it is a really nice way to make a loop through downtown if you're a worker or a visitor. And I think it's all great. I think it's a start, but if they really want this to be something, they're going to have to run it out to, say, the airport and or the Milwaukee County Zoo. So, it's time to take it beyond downtown. Obviously, funding is an issue. Republicans in the legislature are an issue. But, Kristen, you and I both have plenty of friends who have already posted on Facebook about taking the train to Chicago, like I'm going to be later this morning. And when are more politicians going to understand the need to support all forms of public transit, not just turning an 8-lane freeway into a 10-lane freeway?
Well, I think when we have politicians who are forward thinking instead of backward thinking, because when you listen to young people, when you listen to people who are innovative and they're thinking about how do we grow business and industry, you've got to have solid public transportation. There's no way around it. When I listen to my kids, they would love a train that goes from Green Bay down to Milwaukee, down to Chicago, but we just simply don't have it. So I think we've got to vote in the right people who are thinking about the future of Wisconsin instead of going back to the past.
Yeah. It's again, like I said at the top of the hour, it's this whole notion of denigrating all cities. And I recall hearing this when there was talk that, well, any kind of light rail line in Milwaukee would stop at the county line, because Waukesha County and Washington and Ozaukee counties would never allow for it. Much like some folks in Eau Claire really continued to fight having commuter rail service to the Twin Cities, again, because, you know, we don't want, and then of course they get into some tones that are just downright offensive. Mm-hmm. When in fact you've got commuters and visitors and shoppers that would, you know, just overwhelming demand, I think, would come in if we started making more investments in these kinds of public transit issues, well, as well as all things public mm-hmm. parks, public schools, public health. I don't know why some people are so against public. It's a good thing.
Public walkways, so that people can get out and walk and bike, and so that you don't have to take your car a mile down the road to go get groceries or go get dinner. And then you can bump into some neighbors and have a conversation. And that's good for your physical health. It's good for your mental health. The more we can be out and about together, the healthier we are.
Tell you what, when you're in a walking neighborhood like this one in the Milwaukee's Third Ward, you meet a lot of good boys. And you don't know for sure if they're boys or girls, but you just go, who's a good boy? Because there's so many people walking their dogs. And they walk by and, you know, somebody at our hotel cafe always has a treat jar ready to hand to any doggos that come by.
Oh, that's so good for you. It lifts your spirits.
It does. It absolutely does.
I will say, though, as a dog owner now, when people assume my dog's a boy, I get immediately, like, terse. Like, I had a guy in Kenosha, we're at an ice cream shop having an ice cream, and he goes, what's his name? I go, her name's Maybell. Oh, how old is he? She's a year. What kind of breed is he? She is a German Shepherd mix.
Well, at that point, he's now just messing with you. He's like, okay, he's, you know, and what are you going to do? You're going to go all gender normative and put a pink bow on her? You know?
Yes. Maybell needs a pink collar if you want people to identify her as a her. Otherwise, you know, do you want him like taking a peek?
Yeah, she's got a purple collar. She's got a purple collar and a pink, and there's a pink leash. But if any one of you two can put a bandana on her, good luck.
Yeah, I know. We tried with our lab for 14 years, and that never takes. It's amazing that dogs can't do a lot of magic, but sometimes they can make a bandana disappear every time if they want it to. Kristen, well, obviously, you will go back and to Chicago and visit the convention at some point here. We were going to have President Biden speaking tonight, not Thursday night, like he originally thought it was going to be. What do you think tonight's going to be like for that opening night at the United Center?
I don't know. You know, I hope that we see the Joe Biden from the State of the Union address, a little bit of a spicy Joe Biden who talks about all of the successes of his administration and then where they go from there and how critical Vice President Harris has been and will continue to be as she provides that continuity.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, very heavy on the accomplishments that he's made. But of course, now, as happens in every election cycle, it's no longer just the president's administration. It's the president, vice president administration. So it's the Harris-Walz administration. And that's nothing new. Like I said, that comes up in every campaign cycle because rightfully the vice president is there as a partner. But you also have Joe Biden having to make the case that while he did these good things, that his vice president, Kamala Harris, is more than ready to take the baton and run with it. And I think that there's going to be a welcome, the likes of which we probably haven't seen at a convention for a while. Because again, the I'll say it, relief that that the president did what he did for 4 years and then was willing to say, okay, it's time to let somebody else take the reins.
It just feels like such a breath of fresh air to see these leaders doing the right things for the people instead of the politically appropriate things for themselves. We've seen so much ugly politics and so much selfishness, and we've gotten used to that, I think, especially in Wisconsin, because it's been over a decade. But to see someone like Joe Biden do the things that he's been doing recently, you know, stepping back, handing the reins over to Vice President Harris, and then just the way that she has taken off. I think of a relay, like that was a great handoff, and she just like right out of the gate. So I'm so excited. In Chicago yesterday, people were saying the energy that they're feeling in their communities has been unbelievable. We've been comparing it to Obama. People yesterday were saying, this is bigger than Obama.
And in fact, you're actually hearing, you know, folks in the media make a pivot here, because for the past week or so, you'd see these articles about, oh, it's going to be in Chicago. Is it going to be like 1968? And instead, this morning, there was a headline that said, you know, forget 1968. It feels more like 2008. you know, when Obama was first running. It's that kind of a vibe. And I would also quickly remind folks, Chicago's had another convention since. They had it in 1996. It went just fine. Settle down, people. We're not revisiting 1968. The world is nothing like what it was there. But we are reminded of Wisconsin's swing state status because, you know, I get all these emails about the convention. There's all the delegation breakfasts where you see all these guest speakers every morning. You know, I've put in for the media credentials to be there, you know, tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. And overnight comes the demand has been through the roof and is crazy. We cannot guarantee that everybody will get a spot, which, again, just tells you that this race, it does remain close. It does come down to some key states. And if you are a Wisconsin delegate, and Kristen, you and I know many of them, they're going to be the popular kids in Chicago this week.
Oh, for sure. And if you are a Wisconsinite, you are a popular kid because everyone is looking at us. Of the three swing states that are going to determine the presidency, there is something really special about Wisconsin. We are independently minded. And, you know, I have to put in a plug for the 8th Congressional District because this is a district that has swung back and forth 15 times in the history of this district. So, ladies and gentlemen, buckle up because the next couple of months are going to be a blast.
that no doubt there. I mean, and you know, this is our first conversation since the primary. And so now you know that your Republican opponent will be Tony Weed, the Trump endorsed candidate, although they are all trying so hard to be Trumpian. The difference being that I know that district has been traditionally, lately, a leans Republican district, but has a lot of independent voters. And yet, I don't necessarily see that you're going to be running against somebody who's going to try to tack to the center, because you end up being referred to as a rhino.
Well, his entire identity is based on his relationship with President Trump. And in fact, even his yard signs lead with the words Trump endorsed before they even say his name. So I think it's impossible for him to separate himself from former President Trump.
Yeah, no. They've decided to be joined at the hip, and, you know, so be it. Alicia Saunders writes that Northeast Wisconsin is rocking.
There
she
is,
too, knocking on all kinds of doors, as is Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein, who is going to be our guest in our next hour, talking about knocking on doors, talking to voters, and the issues that matter to the voters. Before she heads to Chicago. Take a break here. We'll have today's history lesson coming up. Selena Heller from Up North News will be along as well. This is Up North News Radio, live from Milwaukee. Back now with today's history lesson at 6:50. And now normally you'd expect to hear us play Chicago because of the Democratic National Convention going to be there. But there actually is a little method to the madness here, because it was on this day in 1972 that the album Chicago 5 hit number one on the album chart. And Saturday in the Park was arguably the biggest hit off of that one. Also on this day in 1972, there was a brand new show that debuted on NBC, The Midnight Special. It was just supposed to be a one-off special presentation, but eventually launched as a regular show, Wolfman Jack serving as the announcer. And it's how those of us in the Midwest got a little culture was The Midnight Special, you know, learning what's new in the rock and roll world. Selena Heller joins us now as well. Selena, Midnight Special, was that one of those shows that if you were babysitting, you know, on a weekend, you'd be able to stay up late enough to watch that, or was it already gone by then?
I do not know that show.
Don't know The Midnight Special?
No.
Okay, let's work my way along the age ladder here. Greg?
Yeah. Do not.
Okay. Kristen?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, just wanted to see where the line is here. Thanks.
Selena wasn't one of the cool kids.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Not
cool. Well, you know, we lived in households, some of us, where Midnight Special was a little bit different, because otherwise it was the Lawrence Welk Show and Hee Haw. That was pretty much our...
Bobby Vinton.
And Bobby Vinton.
Okay, yep, all right, yep. We get it, Dr. Lyerly. You like Bobby Vinton.
Na 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 na.
All right.
I now, do here, know Hee-Haw.
Oh, you, Hee-Haw.
Course, everybody knows Hee-Haw, of course. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's a little interesting thing about Irving Berlin, of course, the great American songwriter, and talk about staying power. The first item is from 1911, and Variety magazine calls a young Irving Berlin and his new song the song sensation of the century. Play a little bit of that song sensation of the century from Irving Berlin in 1911, Greg. There it is, folks, the song sensation of the century. Now, he'd written a few other songs since that point. And in fact, by the time we get to 1983, when Irving Berlin is 95, one of his songs, a cover of it, peaked at number 9 this week in 1983. Here's Taco.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
So the significance of that is that it made the then 95-year-old Irving Berlin the oldest living songwriter to ever have a top 10 record. So a little staying power out of the young man.
And he was like, thank you, Taco, for bringing my music to the people.
On this day in 1957 in Newsweek magazine, there was a special music report that talked about the new refreshing sounds of music from Pat Boone. So moving on, born this day in 1940, the late Johnny Nash. This was his big top 40 hit.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
We've got former President Bill Clinton has a birthday today, 78 years old today. Former Brewer manager Ned Yost is 69. The late Matthew Perry would have been 55 years old today. Country singer Leanne Womack is 58. Several country hits, but perhaps none bigger than this crossover hit.
Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
I have a feeling this has been played at more than one or two wedding receptions over time, or weddings. Former Brewer J.J. Hardy is 42 years old today. And singer Christina Perry is 38 years old today and has another one of those songs that has quickly become a wedding staple. On this day in 2003, MTV debuted the new reality series, Newlyweds, Nick and Jessica, following 98 Degrees' Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson. So, Selena, maybe you watched this show rather than Bobby Vinton or, you know, The Midnight Special?
Maybe that's more like it.
I still cannot open up a can of tuna without thinking about whether it's chicken or tuna.
You know, it was funny back then, and now I think of it, I'm like, man, I feel bad for her, because, like, there's so many things that we think, and if we say out loud, people are like, what are you talking about? But we don't have a microphone attached to our body, except for right now. Point is, it's just, I don't know, like, I feel like, oh, let's be nice to Jessica. Look,
I mean, how many times already have every one of us in these four boxes on our screen, you know, been ganged up on by the other three and laughed at for saying something? Because again, that's fine. It's a radio show. But if you're getting followed around all day,
yeah,
you know, you're right. You're absolutely. Drake made his professional debut on this day in 2006 with a 30-minute set in Toronto opening for Ice Cube, and it earned him $100. Chris, that's probably Drake that you prefer more than what we've seen lately, right? You said you were kind of liked it when Drake was fresh and on the scene.
I liked old school Drake. I just got a sense mm-hmm. that he was like, you know, he was a good guy.
Yep. Like how we all laugh, like, no, celebrities are never good guys. Well, we hope so. Today is National Potato Day. Hi to everyone in Idaho. It's National Bow Tie Day. It's National Aviation Day. It's National Photography Day. This is International Orangutan Day. And Dr. Lyerly, today is Patient Advocacy Day. You have your hand up.
Yes, I'd like to go back to National Potato Day and yes, acknowledge ma'am. That Wisconsin is the third largest potato producer in the country, and most of the potatoes come from central Wisconsin, where the soil is sandy.
Yes, it is.
We're coming for you, Idaho. We're coming for you.
Right. Oh, no. We always have the Kreitlow Kitchen always has locally grown potatoes in there as well. Selena, what are we covering with you in our next hour? What have you been up to?
We're going to be talking about Farm Technology Days that happened in Cadott last week.
Oh, that's right. You were out there. Can't wait to hear all about that. And then again, in our next hour, State Senate Democratic Leader Diane Hesselbein will join us as we talk a bit more about the Democratic National Convention heading down there today. Our show will be live from Chicago Tuesday through Friday here on Up North News Radio. Whoops, that's you. Hi, how are you? I should be hitting this button right over here, the one for me.
Welcome to Pat's first show.
Welcome to Pat trying to do what he normally does on a big, ginormous screen on a teeny tiny laptop. All right, we'll take a break for news and regrouping, and we'll be back after this.